Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 16 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. On today's program, we're going to talk to you all about cosmetic testing and the types of tests you need to run before you launch your product on the market. Many of you listeners have a desire to create and sell your own product. I'm actually working on a training program that will show you exactly how to do that, but in the meantime, I thought it would be helpful if you knew exactly the type of testing you have to do prior to selling your product. That way, you'll be able to estimate how much money and time it will require. Now, since I'm in the U.S. And am most familiar with our rules, the information in today's episode will apply primarily to U.S. cosmetic products. Other countries follow slightly different rules. However, that is usually a matter of paperwork and specifics. Anyone anywhere in the world should conduct these types of tests on their formulations prior to launching, even if they're not technically required. All right, let's begin. There are really just four types of tests that you must do before selling your own product. These include microbial testing, stability testing, safety testing, and performance testing. We'll talk a little bit about each of these in the rest of the show. Microbial testing. While microbial testing could be classified as safety testing, it is so important that I think it deserves its own category. Whenever you create a new formula that will be put in the hands of some consumer, you need to ensure that the preservation system you're using is adequate for preventing dangerous microbial growth. Some people and brands make it a point to advertise that their products are made without preservatives. In my opinion, this is dangerous and bad practice. Products that are not properly preserved can spread disease and make people sick. Don't do it. I do not recommend you do it. Just don't do it. Do not make preservatives or the lack thereof or what kind you use. Don't make that a selling point. It's just not good practice. There are two primary types of microbial testing that you need to do. First, there is the contamination test. This is a test you need to do on every batch of your product that you sell. It is a simple matter of taking a sample and testing to see whether it is contaminated or not. If it's not, then proceed with packaging and distribution. If it is, don't sell it. To determine whether you have initial contamination, bacteria and fungal counts, sometimes called standard plate counts or aerobic plate counts, are done. The test is simple. A sample product is mixed with a neutralizing agent to knock out the preservative activity. If present, and then added to bacterial or fungal agar growth in a petri dish. After that, it is incubated at an appropriate temperature for 2 to 5 days, and then bacterial or fungal colonies are counted. The amount of microbes are evaluated to determine whether they pose a consumer risk or not. Typically, a bacterial count of fewer than 10 per gram is okay, since cosmetics are not required to be sterile to be safe. Your company will decide on what level of growth is acceptable, but 10 per gram is standard in the industry. The other type of microbial test is the preservative efficacy test. This is a test in which you purposely introduce microbes into your batch, then watch the samples over time to see whether your preservative system is good enough to kill off the microbes. If it's not, you need to improve your preservation system. The PET, or micro-challenge test, should be done on your initial samples and on your 8-week room temperature and 45°C stability samples. This can help you determine the length of time that your products will remain microbe-free. Microbial challenge tests consist of 5 basic steps. Step 1 is evaluating the product for initial microbial contamination. Step 2 is the initial inoculation into 5 different containers, each of which contain a different microbial colony. The initial microbe concentration is then determined. Step 3 is to incubate the samples at room temperature for 7 days. Step 4 involves counting the microbes to see if there was some sort of change. Ideally, they'll all be killed off. And then step five is a further extension of the test with evaluations being done at 14, 21, and 28 days. If the preservative system is working, there will be minimal to no microbial growth over the course of this test. The next step of test that you have to conduct on your formula before you launch is a stability test. Cosmetic stability testing is a study run to determine whether your product will last on store shelves and on your consumer's bathroom counter. Stability testing is an important quality test that you need to run in order to sell your products in the U.S. It is also useful to ensure that when people do buy your product, they won't be dissatisfied with a foul odor, ugly color, or a separated formula. We covered stability testing on day five of this series, and I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that episode for more details. The third required testing you need to do before launching your product is safety testing, since it is illegal to sell products that haven't been shown to be safe. Technically, you could sell a product, but you would have to put a warning label on your product alerting customers that it hasn't been tested for safety. As you can imagine, this type of label would not be good for product sales. If you do sell your product without doing proper safety testing, you open yourself up to litigation, which could pretty much ruin any fledgling cosmetic company. Safety testing includes things like patch testing, eye irritation tests, and a host of other procedures that ensure consumers will not become seriously ill after using your product. The type and amount of safety testing done depends on the type of product you are selling and how different the raw materials are. If you are making something that uses standard cosmetic raw materials, you do not need to do as rigorous a testing protocol. But if you are using a new raw material, especially something that hasn't been used in the cosmetic industry previously, then you'll need to do a whole host of testing, which may even include animal testing. Incidentally, for many brands, animal testing isn't acceptable, so you may have to limit yourself to only ingredients that have been previously tested for safety on animals. Finally, you'll have to conduct some performance testing, also known as claims testing, before you launch your product. The type of performance testing you need to do depends on the specific advertising claims that you're going to make for your product. In the U.S., you are bound by the rules of the FTC, or the Federal Trade Commission, which states that you cannot promote false advertising. This means if you say your product is going to clean hair, you have to demonstrate that it does. If you say your lotion will moisturize skin, you have to show that it does that. There are some industry standard tests, but in many cases, as a cosmetic chemist, you'll have to come up with your own reasonable test to demonstrate that what you say about your products is true. We did a more in-depth look at claims testing in day 10 of this series. I'd encourage you to go review that episode for more information. Since the cosmetic industry in the U.S. is self-regulated, the FDA does not require pre-market approval of products that you put on the market. In the EU, this is different, which makes it a little harder to launch products than in the US. While you need to be able to prove your products are safe, you do not necessarily have to show the results of any of these pre-launch tests to the government prior to launching your product. However, this does not mean that you can skip testing because the FDA can inspect your facilities and levy huge fines on companies or even recall products that do not have the proper paperwork. Be sure to keep track of all your testing procedures and results of any product that you sell. Have the paperwork to back up what, when, how, and the results of the testing that was done. Testing can be an expensive obstacle to many small cosmetic company launches, but it is a crucial step that you absolutely must do before launching any new product. Remember, you have to do microbial, stability, performance testing and safety testing before you launch any product, and have the documents to demonstrate that that was what you did. Today's challenge. For today's challenge, I want you to choose either one of your own products or a competitor's product and make a list of all the tests that you should have done before launching it. As an example, I'll go through a product on the market to show you what I mean. Here's a product listed on drugstore.com called Tresemme Platinum Strengthening Shampoo. This is a handy one to use because I know the formula and some of the testing that was done before we launched it. I used to work on the Tresemme brand of products. To start the list, I'll write down the obvious tests that have to be done. First, there is stability testing. This would include a stability test of the prototype during the development stage, and it would also include a stability test of the first production run. It's good to have stability data on the first production run of any product you have out there in the marketplace. Next, there is the microbial challenge tests. You should have done a test on the initial product and on samples that were stored at 45C for 8 weeks. Plus, you should have a contamination test done to ensure that the product isn't contaminated when it's first made. The product contains standard cosmetic ingredients, so no animal testing is really required. However, there should be some human patch testing done to determine whether the product will irritate skin. Eye irritation tests could be done, but the levels of SLES and betaine in the formula mean that it should not cause eye irritation for most consumers. Since there is no non-irritating claim, it's less crucial to do this test. Finally, there are a number of claims made about the product, but only a few of them would require any kind of actual testing. One of the claims is that it cleanses and fortifies for strong hair. The fact that you put a surfactant in the formula is proof enough that it cleanses hair. Fortify is a puffery claim, so there really isn't a test you have to conduct to demonstrate that. You just have to explain what you mean by fortify and make a logical argument for it. A claim that would require testing is the claim that the product, quote, repairs up to 2 years of damage in just 5 uses with Tresemme Platinum Strength System for beautifully smooth, healthy-looking hair. I'm not sure exactly how they did this test, but you could first quantify what 2 years of damage means. For example, you could comb the hair, the number of times it would be combed in 2 years, and do a combing test to see how much force it takes to get the comb through the hair. Then you could test those tresses with and without the conditioning system and measure the force. If the results are the same as when you started before the 2 years of damage, you have verified the claim. It's actually pretty clever if you did it that way. Of course, any conditioner could probably achieve this claim, but that's the nature of claims. If you can figure out a compelling claim and a way to demonstrate it before your competitor, you get to use it first. Another claim they list is that the product, quote, protects against future damage. This, again, could be proven via trust testing. I won't go into the details, but you get the idea. And that about does it. So to launch this product, you would need to do stability testing, microbial testing, some safety testing, and a few different claims tests. Ideally, this testing would be done by an independent lab so your claim support is more robust than just your own assertion that the testing was done. Independent testing is just more compelling. To find an independent test lab, you can search for labs in Google or go to our forum and make an inquiry there. All right, now it's your turn. Find a product and analyze the testing that should be done. Make a list of all the tests you think need to be done before that product could be put on the market. Then go to the show notes for this episode and leave a comment with your product and analysis. That way we can all learn from each other. Well, that's today's program. Thanks so much for listening. In tomorrow's program, we turn our attention to cosmetic regulations and the role of the FDA. As a formulator, you have to know the basics of how the products are regulated in the country that you create the products. Contrary to what some people say on the internet, the cosmetic industry is regulated in the US. We'll find out more tomorrow. If you have found this series helpful, please go to the comments sections on the show notes page and leave a comment. Also, be sure to share it with your friends and colleagues or anyone else you think might be interested in this show. As always, don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes or any other podcasting playing service you use. Also, be sure to give us a review on iTunes. This will help other people who are on iTunes to find the show. Remember, you can also follow us on Twitter, we're at Chemist Corner, and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum that I encourage everyone to sign up for and participate in discussions about cosmetic formulating. You can get lots of your questions answered there. Just go to chemistscorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Well, thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.